Well, hello and welcome back to another episode of Bible Problems for Today. My name is Heather, and today we are reading through the Bible, the one-year chronological Bible, New Living Translation, large print, of course, on this part of the podcast. And so I'm so glad you guys were able to join me today, and we are going to jump into the Word of God. So much is going on. Remember, guys, what's coming up in May. And it's no, not May the 4th be with you. That's coming up as well, too. But what we have coming up is going to be the WHO. And they're going to vote on this treaty. And I've been talking about it for a very long time. And so I guess I know you guys have been hearing about it a lot as well. That's coming up in May. We just pray that the Lord would keep the administration here in the United States from signing that. We pray that does not happen. But if it does, we would pray that the next president, which hopefully is not Biden, coming into office would reverse that. And that's probably going to be the Trumpster. So, any of you guys, we will pray against that right now because we sure don't want that to happen. We don't want to be a part of that. It's all about control. And, you know, the bird flu and the cows, it's all going around nowadays. It's just, it's just going around. So, yes. So we see all these things happening. I mean, everything is happening so fast. My pastor talked about it on Wednesday, about how things are just, you know, just moving so quickly. We have everything going on in the Middle East. All the pieces of these puzzles are moving together. And so, folks, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal savior, I want to start this podcast with that, because we could be snatched out of here. The believers will be snatched out of here so fast, the twinkling of an eye, the Apostle Paul says, and you guys will be left if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you're going to have a much more difficult decision to make. Right now, it's not that hard of a decision to follow Christ. Now, I do realize, you know, in North Korea and China, you will be killed for that. I understand. And you know, it's a lot harder to make that decision for Christ in those countries than it is here in the United States. But when I mean difficult, I mean, it's going to be 1,000 times more difficult, more persecution. It's going to make China and North Korea look like child's play when the Antichrist comes on the scene and the 7-year tribulation begins. Trust me, you don't want to be here for that. This is God's wrath being poured out on unbelievers. And so I implore you right now that if you have not hardened your heart to the Lord, that you would make that decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ today. It's a personal decision. It's not, your mom may be a Christian. Your grandmother might have been a Christian. So you can't rely on their relationship with Christ to save you. It's like if you park your car in a garage, it does not make you, it doesn't make you a car if you go sit in the garage. So you must make that personal decision for yourself. And so the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit is knocking on the door, as we say. If you know that still small voice and that prompting, I would suggest that you make that decision today before it's too late. While you still have lungs and you still have breath in your lungs, I would make that decision today, because once you die and you go into your eternal home, you can't change. There's nothing you can't do. You can't beg. Nobody can pay you out of hell or pray you out of hell. There is no purgatory. There is heaven or hell. You will either go to be in eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ, or you will be eternally separated from God in hell. And so I would implore you, like I always say, you can be sitting on your couch eating Cheetos. You could be driving down the road. You could be out fishing. You could be sitting in your office. You could be whatever you may be. But if you have not made that decision, I pray that today you would understand that you need a Savior. We can't save ourselves. There's nothing we can do. We are all sinners. We're saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you have to make that profession in Christ. You have to put your faith in Jesus, in what He did for us on the cross. And so, and believe that God raised Him from the dead 3 days later. That's our hope, you guys. That is, if Christ never raised from the dead, then Christianity is, there is nothing. So that's our hope. That's our promise right there. And so anyway, I would just implore you to make that decision to cry out to the Lord today. Say, Jesus, please save me. I am a sinner. I am a sinner. Please forgive me of my sins. I repent, which means you turn away from your sins. The whole 360, you turn away. And you turn towards Christ and you ask him to save you. And then profess that he is your Savior. So, with that, guys, we're going to go ahead and jump in to the Word of God today. And so, we are in April, the 16th reading. Jump on over here today. And if you didn't catch that in the beginning, we are reading the one-year chronological Bible, the New Living Translation, large print, of course. But, of course, I have it downloaded onto my iPhone and iPad, which makes it super easy for me to read. Praise the Lord. If you only knew how blind I was. What an exciting day that was when I saw that I could download that. It was really cool because I had lost the copy that I had, the hard copy. So anyway, let's move right along with the Lord. God bless the reading of his word. Today we're at David at the cave of Adullam. This is 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 and 2. So David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Soon his brothers and all his other relatives joined him there. Then others began coming, men who were in trouble or in debt or who were just discontented, until David was the captain of about 400 men. Psalm 57. For the choir director, a psalm of David regarding the time he fled from Saul and went into the cave, to be sung to the tune, Do Not Destroy. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the danger passes by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. He will send help from heaven to rescue me, disgracing those who hound me. My God will send forth his unfailing love in faithfulness. I am surrounded by fierce lions who greedily devour human prey, whose teeth pierce like spears and arrows, and whose tongues cut like swords. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. My enemies have set a trap for me. I am weary from distress. They have dug a deep pit in my path, but they themselves have fallen into it. My heart is confident in you, O God. My heart is confident. No wonder I can sing your praises. Wake up, my heart. Wake up, O lyre and harp. I will wake the dawn with my song. I will thank you, Lord, among all the people. I will sing your praises among the nations. For your unfailing love is as high as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Be exalted, O God, above the highest heavens. May your glory shine over all the earth. Psalm 142. A psalm of David regarding his experience in the cave, a prayer. I cry out to the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before him and tell him all my troubles. When I am overwhelmed, you alone know the way I should turn. Wherever I go, my enemies have set traps for me. I look for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit what happens to me. Then I pray to you, O Lord, I say, you are my place of refuge. You are all I really want in life. Hear my cry, for I am very low. Rescue me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring me out of prison so I can thank you. The godly will crowd around me, for you are good to me. Warriors join David. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 8 through 18. Some brave and experienced warriors from the tribe of Gad also defected to David while he was at the stronghold in the wilderness. They were expert with both shield and spear, as fierce as lions and as swift as deer on the mountains. Ezer was their leader. Obadiah was second. Eliab was third. Mishmanah was fourth. Jeremiah was fifth. Attai was sixth, Eliel was seventh, Johanan was eighth, Elzabad was ninth, Jeremiah was tenth, Machbanai was 11th. These warriors from Gad were army commanders. The weakest among them could take on 100 regular troops, and the strongest could take on 1,000. These were the men who crossed the Jordan River during its seasonal flooding at the beginning of the year and drove out all the people living in the lowlands on both the east and west banks. Others from Benjamin and Judah came to David at the stronghold. David went out to meet them and said, "If you have come in peace to help me, we are friends. But if you have come to betray me to my enemies when I am innocent, then may the God of our ancestors see it and punish you." Then the Spirit came upon Amasa, the leader of the 30, and he said, "We are yours, David. We are on your side, son of Jesse. Peace and prosperity be with you, and success to all who help you, for your God is the one who helps you." So David let them join him, and he made them officers over his troops. David protects his parents, 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 3 and 4. Later, David went to Mizpah in Moab, where he asked the king, "Please allow my father and mother to live here with you until I know what God is going to do for me." So David's parents stayed in Moab with the king during the entire time David was living in his stronghold. David returns to Judah, 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 5 through 10. One day the prophet Gad told David, "Leave the stronghold and return to the land of Judah." So David went to the forest of Hereth. The news of his arrival in Judah soon reached Saul. At the time, the king was sitting beneath the tamarisk tree on the hill at Gibeah, holding his spear and surrounded by his officers. "Listen here, you men of Benjamin," Saul shouted to his officers when he heard the news. "Has that son of Jesse promised every one of you fields and vineyards? Has he promised to make you all generals and captains in his army? Is that why you have conspired against me? For not one of you told me when my own son made a solemn pact with the son of Jesse. You're not even sorry for me. Think of it, my own son encouraging him to kill me, as he is trying to do this very day." Then Doeg the Edomite, who was standing there with Saul's men, spoke up. "When I was at Nob," he said, "I saw the son of Jesse talking to the priest, Ahimelech, son of Ahitub. Ahimelech consulted the Lord for him. Then he gave him food and the sword of Goliath the Philistine." The slaughter of the priests, 1 Samuel chapter 22, verses 11 through 23. King Saul immediately sent for Ahimelech and all his family who served as priests at Nob. When they arrived, Saul shouted at them, "Listen to me, you son of Ahitub." "What is it, my king?" Ahimelech asked. "Why have you and the son of Jesse conspired against me?" Saul demanded. "Why did you give him food and a sword? Why have you consulted God for him? Why have you encouraged him to kill me, as he is trying to do this very day?" "But sir," Ahimelech replied, "is anyone among all your servants as faithful as David, your son-in-law? Why, he is the captain of your bodyguard and a highly honored member of your household. This was certainly not the first time I had consulted God for him. May the king not accuse me and my family in this manner, for I knew nothing at all of any plot against you." "You will surely die, Ahimelech, along with your entire family," the king shouted. And he ordered his bodyguards, "Kill these priests of the Lord, for they are allies and conspirators with David. They knew he was running away from me, but they didn't tell me." But Saul's men refused to kill the Lord's priest. Then the king said to Doeg, "You do it." So Doeg the Edomite turned on them and killed them that day, 85 priests in all, still wearing their priestly garments. Then he went to Nob, the town of the priests, and killed the priests' families, men and women, children and babies, and all the cattle, donkeys, sheep, and goats. Only Abiathar, one of the sons of Ahimelech, escaped and fled to David. When he told David that Saul had killed the priest of the Lord, David exclaimed, "I knew it! When I saw Doeg the Edomite there that day, I knew he was sure to tell Saul. Now I have caused the death of all your father's family. Stay here with me, and don't be afraid. I will protect you with my own life, for the same person wants to kill us both." Psalm 52. For the choir, a psalm of David regarding the time Doeg the Edomite said to Saul, "David has gone to see Ahimelech." Why do you boast about your crimes, great warrior? Don't you realize God's justice continues forever? All day long you plot destruction, your tongue cuts like a sharp razor, you're an expert at telling lies. You love evil more than good and lies more than truth. You love to destroy others with your words, you liar. But God will strike you down once and for all. He will pull you from your home and uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see it and be amazed. They will laugh and say, "Look what happens to mighty warriors who do not trust in God." They trust their wealth instead and grow more and more bold in their wickedness. But I am like an olive tree thriving in the house of God. I will always trust in God's unfailing love. I will praise you forever, O God, for what you have done. I will trust in your good name in the presence of your faithful people. David protects the town of Keilah. 1 Samuel chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. One day, news came to David that the Philistines were at Keilah, stealing grain from the threshing floors. David asked the Lord, "Should I go and attack them?" "Yes, go and save Keilah," the Lord told him. But David's men said, "We're afraid even here in Judah. We certainly don't want to go to Keilah to fight the whole Philistine army." So David asked the Lord again, and again the Lord replied, "Go down to Keilah, for I will help you conquer the Philistines." So David and his men went to Keilah. They slaughtered the Philistines and took all their livestock and rescued the people of Keilah. Now when Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, he brought the ephod with him. Saul soon learned that David was at Keilah. "Good," he exclaimed, "we've got him now. God has handed him over to me, for he has trapped himself in a walled town." So Saul mobilized his entire army to march to Keilah and besiege David and his men. But David learned of Saul's plan and told Abiathar, the priest, to bring the ephod and ask the Lord what he should do. Then David prayed, "O Lord God of Israel, I have heard that Saul is planning to come and destroy Keilah because I am here. Will the leaders of Keilah betray me to him? And will Saul actually come as I have heard? O Lord God of Israel, please tell me." And the Lord said, "He will come." Again, David asked, "Will the leaders of Keilah betray me and my men to Saul?" And the Lord replied, "Yes, they will betray you." Oh, goodness, folks. I hope you are enjoying this as we travel through the Bible chronologically. I'm telling you, it's getting good. Isn't it amazing how you can read the Word of God and it just applies to you, like right now where you're at and in life, wherever you may be. Like right now, you know, I'm in a situation where, you know, these Psalms are like just speaking to my heart right now. And so I'm going to probably read these again, especially Psalm 142 and Psalm 57. And so wherever you are in life, the Lord God will speak to you through his word with encouragement. And so I pray that this is an encouragement to you guys. And with that, I'm going to get out of here. So as always, get in the word of God, let the word of God get into you. And Maranatha, Lord Jesus, Maranatha. Art, like you said today, perhaps today the Lord will come and take us home. Oh, what a joyful day that is going to be. And we have that to look forward to. We have that hope in our hearts. And I pray that you keep that hope in your heart and keep looking up for the great appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank y'all so much for listening. May God bless each and every one of y'all.